Amen. That was supposed to have been funny. But once you get it started, amen. One of the things we say around here, we are a church where Jesus is exalted and the Word of God is taught as the final authority of the believer. It's the Word that keeps you, amen. It is the Word that keeps you. Pastor's talking about no weapon formed against you. That word in Isaiah says, the heritage of the servants of the Lord and the righteousness is of me. And above that it says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. And that word there, prosper, means succeed at reaching its intended purpose. No weapon shall reach, no weapon shall prosper. No weapon shall reach its intended purpose. Amen. You may get hit by a fiery dart every once in a while, but it's not going to intend its purpose to hurt or harm you. Amen. Hallelujah. That's just a little nugget. No matter where you are at in your relationship with God, we have a tendency to question God and kind of doubt Him a little bit. And I was getting this message ready last night, and I'm thinking, Lord, this isn't going to be very long here. You know, it's Sunday morning. And I got up this morning, was kind of looking through the Word and thinking, I need to add some more to this. It's not going to be very long. You know, Lord, I couldn't. It just wasn't there. So now I understand why. But I believe you're going to leave today with a little nugget of truth. Amen. It doesn't matter how long a message is, it's the meat of the message. So you're going to leave here today with a little nugget of truth. So if you have your Sunday handout, we're going to be talking about a little is a lot. Amen. So when we think about God, we think about grand, we think about great, we think about magnificent, and we should, because He is. But I've come to learn that when I approach God, I don't have to approach Him as me being grand, as me being great, or as me being magnificent. He says, you come just as you are, and as an offering unto me, bring in what you have, and what I have to give Him, what you have to give Him at that point, He can take and make much. So we're not out to give God this grand or this magnificent thing, because He is the one that is grand, magnificent, and great. So what we do is we come as we are, just as I am, without one plea. Amen. And He will take that and make it grand and magnificent. Amen. A little is a lot. So Zechariah 4 says, who despises the day of small things? Who despises the day of small beginnings? Who despises the day of a little? So what I have to give Him, He can take and make much. In Mark, we have the story of the fish and the five loaves. And if you've been in church at any time in your life, you know that you've heard that story taught. You've heard that story preached, I'm sure, many times. But it is a very good scripture and illustration of how God can take a little and make a lot. He's just looking for us to give Him something to work with. And you may say, well, He's God. He doesn't need anything to work with. Yeah, He created time out of He took looked and He saw everything was dark and void, and He began to speak, and He's already created. So He's wanting to take what He has created for us to give back to Him, for Him to have something to work with. That increases our faith, amen, to keep believing. So instead of going through the whole story, we're just going to kind of go through here a little bit. The people had followed Jesus to the other side of the lake. He had spent all day teaching them. And the hour was growing late. And the disciples came to Jesus and interrupted His teaching. And they demanded that He send the people away so that they could find food. So Jesus says, well, you men feed them. If they are hungry, you give them something to eat. Amen. So how many times do we look at a need and we say, well, God, you need to do something about this situation. Sometimes if we get quiet long enough, God says, why don't you do something about the situation? Amen. So anyway, He says, you want us? So He said, give them something to eat. And so they're probably thinking, us? Give them something to eat? We don't have anything to give them something. But we all have something to give. Amen. If it's just a little, it's something to work with, and it's a place to start. And I was thinking of how small a seed was, how tall a small seed of an oak tree is that grows up into a big oak. We have to start somewhere with giving something. And God says, if you'll just give me something, I'll work with that something and make it big. Amen. So the command is immediately met with expression of, you know, we don't have anything to give them. So from the Gospel of John, there were 200 penny worth of bread. And it says, Philip is the one that begins to speak, because all the Gospel talks about this story, and every one of them gives a different variation of it. And it's interesting to go see, to read through it, how each disciple told that story. So he said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. You remember there's over 5,000 people, I think, there. That's a whole lot of people. Amen. So he said a penny refers to a denarius, I think that's the way you pronounce that, which was a day's wage for the average worker. It would have taken an average worker 8 months of that particular time to earn that amount of money. But in modern terms, I read that that was the amount of $10,000. So that you want us to feed the people. We don't have anything to feed them. But a little is a lot. Amen. So it's more money than they had or ever could have hoped to collect on a short notice. So Philip said, Lord, if we had $10,000, just putting it out there like that, we couldn't satisfy all these people. We couldn't even give them all a taste. It's impossible because there were so many people there. Jesus said, feed them. But the disciple says, we don't have the resources to feed them. It doesn't take much to meet a person's need. Amen. And so in their eyes, they were facing an impossible situation, an impossible challenge. And so how many times, you know, they've seen Jesus work miracles time and time again. He turned water into wine and healed lepers and cast out demons, legions of demons, calmed violent storm, healed those that were oppressed. But how many times have we seen God do things and he just asks us to do something and we're like, I don't have anything to give, God. We all have something to give. We all have something to give. But at that moment, all they were seeing was the crisis before their eyes. And when we look at the crisis, we forget about looking at Jesus. Amen. So if he asks you to give, the anointing is there to do it, even if it's just a little. So he was looking for something to work with, just a little bit to work with. It's all it takes. So he tells them to go out and define, and from John's account, all the food that was available in that crowd was a small lunch of a young boy. And he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So, you know, I'd never thought about this before, but we're thinking like a big fish meal, big pieces of bread. But when I began to study this out, they weren't big loaves. Rather, they were small, round pieces of bread. And the fishes were like sardines, probably, for just one person. So then it was really like, you want to take this, it might have looked just a little bit better if it was a little bit bigger. So how many times God asks us to do something and it's just a little, but would our faith be more if it was just something a little bigger? So don't look at the size of what God asks you to give. Just give what you have. Because you're giving it to the great, the grand, and the magnificent one that specializes in small things, amen, and that specializes in multiplication. Because he's the God of more than enough. So he tells him to go out, and that's what they found. So they were about the size of sardines, it says, the fish were. So when they returned with that small amount, the disciples, this time it was Andrew that began to speak in John. The version of John, it says, he expresses even more doubt by saying, what are they among so many people? What are you going to be able to do with this small amount of food to feed this many people? So they sized up the crowd. They decided there wasn't enough to go around. So it's like when God asks us to do something, we have a tendency to size it up, figure it out, how it's going to work, when it's going to work, and how to do it. When he says, just believe and have faith in me, and I'll make the rest of it come out. Because it's a big puzzle piece, and he knows exactly where the pieces of the puzzle go. Goes, amen. All we need to do is have faith, believe that he is able, and be obedient. So from a human perspective, from the human perspective of eyesight, it didn't look very good. All Jesus needed was something to work with, though. So in the hands of a lad, it was only a lunch. But in the hands of the Lord, it could feed the crowd, and then have enough left over. So Jesus commands the people to sit down. Sometimes we just need to sit down, take a deep breath, and relax. One thing I've learned from my pastors, don't get in a hurry in dealing with situations. God will work it out in time. So sometimes we just need to sit down, take a deep breath, and it's okay. If you've asked me to give this, then I'll be obedient to do it, because I know you take a little and you make a lot. And he'll work the rest of it out. So Jesus takes what was given to him, which was the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, lifts it toward heaven, and he blesses the food. He's not upset that the provision was so meager. Jesus doesn't get upset with you when you can say, all I have was a little, because he already knows it anyway. He's just asking you to be obedient with the little that you have. So he's not bothered by the small amount of food that was brought to him, because in the hands of God, it was going to multiply. So he took it, he took what was given to him and began to break it. Now that word break and gave, when you go back to read about it, it indicates that he kept on breaking and he kept on giving. It didn't stop. When you, by faith and belief, put something in the hands of God, when it's a little, it keeps multiplying, because it keeps giving, it keeps multiplying, and it keeps giving. So the seed you sow, whether it's your talent, whether it's your time, whether it's your finances, you never know the next generation that it's going to touch. You never know the part of the world that that seed is going to feed a hungry child, or to clothe a hungry child, or to preach the gospel. We're just faithful. We're just to be obedient and faithful to give what we have. Even if it's little, God will take it and make much. So Jesus took those little biscuits and those little sardines, and they were multiplied once they were placed in his hands. So he kept on breaking them and giving them to his disciples, and they just kept on feeding the people. Every time they'd come back with a basket, he'd have more. Every time they would come back, he would have more. Every time they'd come back, he'd have more. And that's the way it is with God. He has more than enough to bless you with, because he wants to bless you to be a blessing. But he wants you to begin to give in order to be, so that you can give. The Bible says give and it'll be given unto you. It didn't say what to give or how much to give. It just says to give. We all have something to give. All of us have something to give. So Jesus exercised at that time a creative miracle in the eyes of the disciples and those around them. The feeding of the 5,000 plus men and children. And he keeps on filling their baskets, keep on feeding them. And every time they came back, they probably expected to find out that it ran out, but it never did. It kept multiplying, because the lad was faithful to give what he had, and the disciples placed it in the hands of Jesus, and he multiplied it. So our God can take more than enough, take what we have and make it more than enough. He can take the little that you give him and do miracles with. Jesus took what was available and multiplied it for his glory. You may say, I don't have much, but take what you have available and just give it to him. Jesus could have spoken and caused the fish and food or whatever it was to come down to heaven to feed the multitude. God can do whatever he wants to do without us doing anything, because he's God. But he's chosen to work with us as vessels of clay to bring the kingdom to the earth. Isn't that awesome? He chose us to bring the kingdom to the earth through vessels of clay. That is awesome. God always uses small things that seem insignificant, even when calling people to do the work of the ministry, to do the work of the church, to get the gospel out. He always calls people that you would think would not be called. He's called every one of you, because he said, I've anointed you to preach good tidings. I've anointed you to preach the gospel, even if it's at Walmart. Amen. So it was the rod of Moses that God used to show that God was with Moses. And we read that story in Exodus 7, 8, and 10. And I'm not going to take the time this morning to read that, but you can go back. He used the rod. Used the little rod to show that he was God to Pharaoh. So what a small thing you could do could be somebody else's miracle. You don't never know. When you have something in your hand to give and you give, it could be somebody's miracle. Could be somebody's miracle. What about David? All he had was the sling and a little rock. But he used what God gave him. He used what God gave him. And God did the miracle. So we don't have to be responsible for the miracle. We just have to be responsible to give in whatever he says for us to give. And God will work the rest of it out. Amen. So God took a rod or a sling. Rod with Moses and a sling with David. A little ended up being a lot. What about Samson and the jawbone? A little, but a lot. The cloud the size of a man's hand that Elijah began to see when he was praying wasn't much at first. But he was faithful to pray, gave a little, and it began to rain like God had promised it to rain. A small thing like a sermon can change a life. A small thing like your testimony can change a life. But you may be thinking, I don't have a testimony. Everybody has a testimony. Amen. He could take a small thing like a song and change a heart. He could take a small thing like an offering and change the world. God took a small thing like 11 men, no scholars, not educated, just plain everyday men and turned the world upside down. Amen. You're anointed not because you're educated. You're anointed because you've been called and you've been chosen by God. And he's placed something in your hand to give because you have been anointed. Amen. Because you have been anointed. So God may take a small thing like your life and use it to touch lives, to change for the glory of God. So I want to encourage you with this. Don't miss the moment because of what you have to give may seem small and insignificant to you. Because to God it's not. Because to God it's not. 2 Kings, well, the story. In chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditors come to take my boys away as slaves." Elijah replied, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all, except..." At first she said, "Well, I don't have nothing at all, but this is what I do have." And that's what God says to us when we say, "Well, I don't have nothing to give, except, you know, I may sing a little bit. I love children. I love teens." Just give it to God, and he'll tell you what to do with the rest of it. Elijah said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't just ask for a few." So he began to prepare for the increase before it came. "Go outside, shut the door behind you and your sons, pour oil into the jars, and as each one is filled, pull it to the side." Put it to the side. She left him, shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought jars to her, and she kept pouring. "When all the jars were full, bring me another one," she told her son. And he said, "But there's not a jar left," and the oil stopped. She went and told the man of God. "Go," and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what's left." Keep giving. Keep giving. Keep giving. And the supply will never run out. Because the God of a little, the God of much, can take what little and make it much. Amen. So he used a little stick, as we said before, in the hand of Moses to part the Red Sea and deliver his people from Pharaoh. He used a little piece of bread called manna to feed his people for 40 years. And it just kept coming. It just kept coming. He used a little leather mantle to part the Jordan River for Elijah and Elisha. He used a little girl named Mary to bring a little baby in the world who grew up and died on the cross on a little hill in a little country called Israel. But in his death, he would provide salvation to all who would receive him. Who knows what he will do with your little if you could just get it into his hands. That's all he's asking. You don't have to see the whole picture of why he's asking you to give. All you need to do is be faithful to give, and he will take the little and make a much. So do you have something little that you need to bring to him today? Bring your little. Believe and by faith, watch him transform it into a lot. That is what he specializes in, church. Things always start with a seed, like the oak tree. Amen. A small seed can grow and grow and grow. And that's all he's asking you to do. It's when you give, offer it as a seed to him, and let the little become a lot. Amen. Stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Lord, we just thank you for your word today. You're the God of greatness. You're the God of more than enough. And as you are speaking to people's hearts today, by faith, I just ask you to lift that thing that God is asking you to give. Whatever it may be, just lift it to him and say, God, I give it to you. And as I give it to you, you're going to show me what to do with the rest of it. But I give it to you, God, as little, but you take and you make much out of it. Because little with you is much. And by faith, we give that to you today, Father. And we just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your word, that settled word that's already settled, and it's settled for us too. We pray for those that are on the prayer request today. Father, we pray for Tammy Reeder, for her continued healing. We rejoice in the day, Lord, that she gets out of that wheelchair and begins to walk with you. We pray for Cole Lawson today, John Watson, he's healing, Benton Harvey, Brian's father's in hospital at TJ Sampson, Jessica Harper, Christopher Heisman. Pray for our nation in Syria. Chris Watts for healing. Barbara Grider and Mosley family for healing. Jimmy Hudson's family. Diana Wayne Garrett for healing and salvation. Father, we lift these prayer requests up to you today, knowing that nothing has gotten past you unnoticed. Bring comfort to those that have lost loved ones. We pray for Gail and her family this week, Father, that you would continue to comfort them and bring them peace. For Jimmy's family, Lord, we ask you to continue to comfort them and bring them peace in the days ahead, Father. For those that need healing, we agree with your word that by the stripes of Jesus they are healed and that they are raised up and they are made whole. For those, Lord, that have not come to know you yet, we thank you for a divine appointment of meeting you. And we give you praise for that today. Thank you, Father, for what you've done in this service today. Thank you, Father, for manifestation of healing. And we just believe and trust you that you're the God of more than enough. Now raise your hands and I speak the favor of God that's already upon you this week. I speak the blessings of God upon you this week. Doors that have been closed that should have been closed. I just right now speak that they will be open in the name of Jesus. That you find favor wherever you go and whatever you touch your hands to this week. I decree and declare that you are debt free and that you have more than enough to give. That your cup runneth over this week with joy in the name of Jesus. I speak that over you in the name of Jesus. Go, be blessed, and have a prosperous week. Amen.
Amen. Can I have about 5 minutes
before Pastor you leave? 5 minutes.
I promise, 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Years ago, the first year that Laverne and I left the United Methodist Church, and we were out on our own and trusting God and believing God, and we asked the pastor and his family over for dinner one Sunday afternoon. There was five of them and three of us, so it's eight people. We ate lunch, and then we did some other stuff that afternoon, and then we said, well, why don't you just eat again, eat with us again before you go back home? So they ate again, so that was eight people. That ate two meals, 16 people, 16 meals, okay? Well, when everything was over, there was this bowl of potatoes sitting on the, the potatoes and carrots kind of thing that goes with the roast, sitting on the table, and it was full. And I told Laverne, I said, well, you sure cooked a lot of potatoes today. And she chuckled and she said, let me tell you about the potatoes. She said, I went to get lunch ready and I didn't realize it, and I got in there and I had two potatoes. And she said, well, I can't do anything with more than what I've got, so Lord, just bless these two potatoes. And there was eight people that ate two meals off of those potatoes, and then the bowl looked like nobody had eaten out of it. So God will take a little. He's still doing that kind of thing today when you have a need for it. He can take a little bit and make a lot out of it. And the Lord said, now I told you something else and you didn't share it this morning. I said, well, I forgot it. We were talking about songs. Well, there was another song that came to my memory this week. Yesterday, I believe it was. And I got to thinking about it, and I thought, you know, I wouldn't sing that song at church. And I've sung it all my life at church. Grew up singing. And we think it's a good song, and it's emotional, sentimental. And you know, a lot of the things that we've sung through the years are emotional and sentimental, and that's about all the strength there is in them. It's this song, Brother Bob, but you remember it too. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, this my plea. Now, you realize what that songwriter's saying? I'm begging you, Lord, to let me close to you. I am a friend of God. I don't have to beg Jesus to let me close to him. If I don't get close to him, it's not his fault. It's mine. And he's never going to say no. Come unto him, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Any man cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. So you keep that in mind this week. No matter what you've been, what you are, what you face, there's enough of God there, and he's close enough to you to get the job done. Amen. Now you may stand and be dismissed.